All we should do is pass a law to make you immune from liability if you punch some unvaccinated person right in the faces, which I'd really like to do. If you ask me when, you know, what's my first reaction to you if you're not vaccinated and there's, you don't have any medical reason not to be, you're a piece of shit. Okay? I'll just punch you right in the goddamn face. That's the way I look at these people.
Ooh, who was that making that bold and brave and macho threat of violence? Well, that's 77-year-old James Carville, the reptilian political consultant credited with engineering Bill Clinton's presidential victories. Should the unvaccinated, quote, pieces of shit, unquote, as Carville called them, should they be concerned about his threat? Well, besides being 77, Carville's height is listed as 6'2", but his weight is 125 pounds. So, if Carville wants to throw hands at the unvaxxed, he'd better head for nursery schools or nursing homes, and be sure it's not a windy day, or he'll be tumbling through the gutter like an empty bag of potato chips.
Safari park. You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
As you may or may not know, there's a sizable group of people who believe that Earth was invaded by lizards from another planet who have the ability to shapeshift into human form. It's a really nutty theory. Until you look at Carville, who is the closest thing to a talking iguana you'll ever see. He's also a lifelong astco, that's asshole, seeking to control others. Now in the twilight of a career as a sleazebag political hack, he's doing a podcast with some other no-talent stain. If you're having trouble sleeping, give it a listen. You'll nod off in seconds. Speaking of political scum, if you think about it, damn near everything that's wrong with the world is the fault of scumbag politicians. Politicians can trigger all kinds of death and destruction, wars, you name it. Sometimes it may even look as if Mother Nature was to blame, but then that China virus and all that gain-of-function research says otherwise, doesn't it? Politician parasites just love a fresh crisis. Gives them a chance to do their eights. There's only four eights. They are pontificate, legislate, mandate, and masturbate. I did an episode about it, the Crisis Carnival. You'll find it in the June 2021 tab at thatlarryshow.com. And as the COVID crisis winds down, there's a fresh crisis brewing right now that really should give everyone pause, maybe make you hide under the bed. And while you're down there, stuff some silver or gold bullion into the mattress, because there will be no vaccine, bogus or genuine, for this threat. The repercussions of COVID lockdowns and the concurrent destruction of the economic base, compounded by the printing of trillions of dollars by the U.S. government, are forming the perfect economic storm, and it's headed our way. How could this happen? Well, because Joey and similar idiot leaders around the world haven't a clue about how business or economics work, and many of their highly credentialed advisors don't either. And why would Joey? He's never run a business or had a real job. Well, he does claim to have worked as a lifeguard one summer where the kiddies in the pool liked to feel the hair on his legs and he nearly had a rumble with some fictive badass named Corn Pop. The infamous Corn Pop. Other than that, Joey's been cashing government checks all his life. And they never stop and they always clear until...
hyperinflation.
Which renders currency worthless. When that happens, bad shit happens without fail. shit much worse than a pandemic. Here's a fascinating clip from a guy named Ed Dowd. He used to manage a $9 billion fund for BlackRock, so it's possible he knows of what he speaks.
The global debt bubble is at its peak, and it's becoming apparent, given what's going on across the globe, that we're at the end. And due to that fact, we're going to see lots of crazy things in the financial markets. I think we're going to see the credit markets become unhinged, the equity markets become unhinged. The Fed got a reprieve from COVID when they were able to, you know, the cover of COVID, print 65% more money to keep this thing afloat. But we're at the end days here. And a lot of what you're seeing in the response from global governments is what I believe is setting up a system to, under the guise of medical tyranny, to prevent the riots that are going to ensue once this thing all unwinds. That's my personal belief, and I watch what people do know what they say.
Most Americans have no concept of history. They cannot tell you which countries fought in World War II, and they have no idea how economics work. A Newsweek poll revealed that 62% of Americans did not know that our economic system is capitalism. But even some of those people are starting to notice. Stuff's getting expensive, really expensive. Groceries, gasoline, heating oil, rent, interest rates are rising. That's because Joey, remember, he's not just a dullard and a serial liar, but a guy with no concept of how business or finance works. Since he took the reins, the national debt now exceeds $30 trillion. But still, the uninformed will say,
who gives a fuck?
The answer is, the nations to whom we owe money. If you loan somebody $5,000 and when it's payback time they say, I don't have $5,000, so I'm going to pay you back with 5,000 grains of sand instead. Well, you'd care about that. You'd never loan them a cent again. You'd cut them out of your life. In the past 2 years, government printed 80% of all money ever in existence. In January of 2020, there was about $4 trillion in circulation. Now it's about $20 trillion. And the more there is of anything, currency, oil, wing nuts, the less valuable it becomes. What's a trillion? Everyone has a tough time wrapping their minds around numbers of that size. A trillion is a million million, 12 zeros, but that really doesn't make a picture. If you stacked $1 million using $100 bills, it would be about the height of a kitchen chair. A billion would be over half a mile high, taller than any skyscraper. A trillion would be higher than a space station over 600 miles up, and $30 trillion stacked in $100 bills would be almost 19,000 miles high. At this point, are those $100 bills much different than grains of sand? Eventually, creditors like China, Japan, Brazil, they'll say, Hey, America, you can wipe your ass with your dollars. We want to be paid in Kuwaiti dinars or sterling or Swiss francs. Once that happens, and it could, the House of Cards collapses and Ed Dowd's scary prediction becomes reality. And that's awful. The only upside is even government parasites and elites get fucked. Joey's unstoppable government paychecks, well, they'll still come, but the money will be just as worthless as the rest of ours. And what about those elites? Well, it depends on how far the bottom falls out. Back in 2009, the nation of Zimbabwe was using the Biden economic playbook. And so they actually printed paper money, one piece of which was worth $1 trillion, which had an actual value of about $30. So at that rate of inflation, Elon Musk, currently the richest guy on earth, would be worth about $8. That's how the scale works. Nothing is more destabilizing than hyperinflation. It's way worse than a plague or zombie apocalypse. You can't shoot or vaccinate or vote your way out of it. Not that long ago, a now-dead commie shitbag named Hugo Chavez took over what was considered the jewel of South America, Venezuela. And he turned it into an unlivable shithole. Why was Venezuela once the jewel of the continent? Well, because the country is floating on oil. More than Saudi Arabia, more than Russia, more than any place. Properly managed, it could have been one of the richest nations on earth. But Commie Chavez and his Marxist regime destroyed all that, plunged it into poverty, starvation, disease, and crime. Thanks to Chavez's 21st century socialism, as he called it, their inflation rate was over 33,000%. So they kept printing more money and blaming people, especially anyone who complained. He had over 6,000 killed in what were termed extrajudicial killings. No trial, bang, you're dead. Then Chavez flashed on a brilliant solution. He was going to fix everything by declaring an economic war. It's been 12 years since that war was declared, and Venezuela is still a terrifying place of scarcity, hunger, and fear. And it's still floating on oil. When jackal politicians have no clue how to deal with any given situation, they declare a war, don't they? A war on poverty. LBJ declared that one in 64. More homeless people now than in the Great Depression. Johnson's successor, Nixon, declared a war on drugs in 71. How's that going? Half a century and $1 trillion later, remember that's a stack of Benjamin 631 miles high, and drugs are still kicking the piss out of the federal government. And there's always a new drug, kind of like a new COVID variant, huh? In Nixon's day, it was marijuana, which put, what, hundreds, thousands, maybe a million guys in jail, ruined their lives and that of their families, and now it's legal or decriminalized in all but four fucking states. But there's always a new bad drug to feed the system and keep those DEA payrolls growing. Heroin, coke, crack, meth, and now fentanyl. But the ones that fuck more people up than any of the street drugs, the prescription opioids, well, those are okay. The Sackler family paid a $4.5 billion fine, and government says, hey, no problemo, all is forgiven. You guys just made a little mistake. El Chapo is in the same business, and he'll die in a supermax underground hellhole prison in Colorado, where he's doing life, plus 30 years. Doesn't that say everything you need to know about American justice? Fuck you, Guzman. We're going to snatch you from another country, lock you up until you're dead, and then you're going to do another 30 years after that. How the fuck does that work? Do they put bars around his grave? Maybe they'll reanimate him like that sick old sci-fi movie. Keep his head in a jar with electrodes jolting his brain just enough so he knows he's in a fucking jar. They also clipped El Chapo for $12 billion, but somehow his money wasn't as good as the Sacklers. Why is he even in an American prison? He was never a citizen of this country. Well, probably because government viewed El Chapo's shit in the same way they viewed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Everyone who took El Chapo's drugs did so of their own free will. And there's nothing government hates more than that. If you're going to destroy yourself with drugs, government wants you to do it under doctor supervision, with a medical professional who knows how to disable and ultimately kill you with government approval. Just like remdesivir and ventilators. In 2001, bonobo face G.W. Bush declared a war on terror. How's that one going? So far, that tab has broken through $8 trillion and thousands of American soldiers killed and disabled. For what? Iraq is still a dangerous, fucked up place. Afghanistan, once again, kicked the ass off a world power. First the Soviets, and then the USA. And the TSA is still groping grandmas and paraplegics at the airport because, well, you just can't be too sure. And now, with 54,000 employees and an $8 billion budget, anyone who thinks the war on terror will ever end is a total imbecile. And speaking of imbeciles, let's get back to Joey. He's been doing his damnedest to gin up a war with Russia over Ukraine. Which is kind of like Russia breaking our balls because Texas might want to secede. It's total bullshit and none of our business, but that doesn't matter. Because two-thirds of our fellow Americans don't even know the basis of our economy is capitalism. When I was in second grade, there was a Joey-type kid named Albert. He sat behind me. He didn't have more than 15 watts between port and starboard. But they promoted him anyway because his uncle was the Monsignor. Politics, even in grammar school. Now, next to Albert sat a kid named Tommy Calliero. By the age of 7, Tommy had more street smarts than both houses of Congress. Tommy came from poverty. He was malnourished. He was feral. He was hyper-aware. And on an instinctual level, Tommy knew that he was predator and Albert was prey. And that was the order of the classroom and the universe. And one day Tommy shows up with a nice shiny 50-cent piece. Looked like it was fresh from the mint. And he's rolling it across his knuckles like Doc fucking Holliday. And pretty soon, Albert's mesmerized by the sight of that big glittering coin, and he asks Tommy where he got it. Tommy tells him his Uncle Nunzio won it in a poker game last night, and now it's his good luck charm. Tommy keeps tumbling it across his knuckles, and Albert's staring at it like it's a splinter from the True Cross, and then Albert asks him how much he wants for it. Well, there's one of the great moron questions of all time, which clearly 62% of American citizens today might also ask. And Tommy says, $5. And I'm trying to stifle a laugh and wishing Tommy had asked for $10. Albert pulls out his wallet and hands Tommy a fin, and Tommy gives him the coin. I wonder what Albert's old man would say once he learned of his son's transaction. I never found out. Something else distracted me the next day. Maybe it was a new government war on something. In last week's episode, I included a song parody of Neil Young's biggest hit. I renamed it Heart of Compliance. And the reaction from you was outstanding, so positive and encouraging that I was inspired to do another. Right after old marginally talented Neil came out as an anti-free speech warrior, his former bandmates, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, announced that they were all in with Neil and wanted their stuff pulled from Spotify, too. So, once again, I fell into a creative trance and wrote and recorded a parody of their biggest folky shit hit, Teach Your Children Well. My version is called Teach Your Sheeple. And I decided to lay in some rockabilly fills. Teach your kids this song, that it is wrong to ever question the man or the reset plan. So you must stand and just surrender when they tell you to comply. You must never ask them why. Simply look up to the sky and let them control you. Joey and his pal Fauci and Jen Psaki, they are your rulers. Obey everything they say each and every day. Do not resist them when they tell you that it's time
to inject some booster slime. You must never grouse or whine. Just know they own you. And when old hippie loons sing their bullshit tunes, you must believe them. They are wise. Look into their eyes. See those dollar signs. Yes, you must heed them. When they tell you they know best, do not challenge or protest. Just remember they are blessed with corporate money.
Someone said I should do an album of these things. I don't know if I will, but in the meantime, I'm having a lot of fun just hanging with you. And as always, thanks for keeping me company here at the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates each Wednesday or thereabouts. If you enjoy it, slide over to thatlarryshow.com, where you'll find hundreds more episodes. While you're there, click a subscribe button so you never miss one. If you really like what you heard, why not support the show and help me fight commies and ASTCOs? Click the Patreon or PayPal button, make a donation, or there's a P.O. box if you'd prefer anonymity. Want to put those ASTCOs on notice? Then get yourself a LUTVA magnetic sticker for your vehicle. Those Canadian truckers should be covered with them, because clearly that Freedom Convoy is built on the LUTVA principle, which is leave us the fuck alone. You can see the stickers at thatlarryshow.com. They're only 10 bucks or 3 for 25. Click the PayPal button and be sure to mention LUTVA with your order. Or order through snail mail, but it'll take a while longer. I'm going to go hit the heavy bag now, just in case Lizard Man Carville wants to throw down. Well, hell, maybe he'll just grab a fly swatter or some cockroach spray. I'll see you next Wednesday, and until that time, take no shit.